Well, welcome everyone to Family Talk. As you know, it's a listener-supported ministry of the James Dobson Family Institute, which we know affectionately here at the ministry, JDFI. And today we're going to focus our microscope on the subject of grandparents. And it's been a while since we've talked about that, and it's such an important topic. And I'm proud to say that I am one. And it's a pleasure and a joy for me. We have two grandchildren. I firmly believe that the role of grandparents, if it is done properly, is a divinely ordered responsibility that even in some ways rivals or at least enhances what God has ordained parents to do. And I can tell you that that is the way it functioned in my childhood. I've told you before, if you've listened to this broadcast, that I had very godly parents who laid the foundation for a lifelong faith within me. It started very, very early. My very first word that I learned to spell was Jesus, J-E-S-U-S. I was 3 years of age. And everything in my life has been built around the building of faith in him. And I felt like I knew him because, in fact, I really did. However, as good as my parents were at that job, my paternal grandmother and my maternal great-grandmother did more to shape my spiritual understanding even than my parents. They were nanny and little mother. And I love them both dearly. And they talked about Jesus all day long. I'm sure they took their instruction from Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 9, where we read the words of Moses spoken to the children of Israel. And this is what he wrote. He said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children." I read it again. "Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along a road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your house and of your gates." That, again, is what Moses said to the children of Israel right before they took the promised land. And it was right before he died. So this represents the last words of Moses to the people. And you see where the emphasis is there. It's on impressing these memories and these words about your God on your children and to do it all day long. And my grandmother, my great-grandmother did just that, and they laid the foundation of faith that holds me steady even today. So grandparents are not just there to babysit occasionally and to buy toys and little clothes and whatever they do. They are placed there for a purpose, and we're going to talk about that today. My guest has a heart for ministering to people and encouraging grandparents all across the nation. He's Larry Fowler, and back in 2015, he started an organization called the Legacy Coalition to pursue this passion. And he does it very, very well. Larry, you and I have not met. We're talking on the telephone today. We're seeing each other virtually. I look forward to meeting you sometime, but I've heard good things about what you do. You really do care about this grandparenting thing, don't you?
Yes, it is a real passion of mine. And of course, it's a personal passion first. My wife and I are deeply passionate about doing everything we can to influence our grandchildren to follow the Lord, but also to encourage the Christian grandparents all across America to do the same.
Does your great passion for this subject come out of your own relationship with your grandchildren?
Yes, it does.
You have seven of them, don't you?
I have seven, yes. I have two sets. I have a younger set and an older set. And, you know, my daughter married early, and then her marriage failed. And she and her three little ones moved in with my wife and I. Her husband had made some terrible choices in life. And it started for me, this thing of being intentional, because I did not want my grandsons to follow in the sins of their father. And I just wanted to do everything that I could to help those little guys, especially, to understand the value of faith and to be a part of that. So that's where it started. But then what really did it, Dr. Dobson, was Deuteronomy 4:9. You fast forward a few years ahead, and I was doing a study, and I saw Deuteronomy 4:9 with new eyes, especially the last part of it, where it says, teach your children and your children's children. Uh-huh. And I never saw that I had a two-generational responsibility to pass on my faith before that moment.
Do you think the church fully understands what grandparents are supposed to do? Do they provide the support for grandparenting that you would like to see them provide?
The simple answer is no. But let me elaborate a little bit. My calling in life has been children's ministry. And I've been a part of the ministry of Awana for actually 39 years. And my last assignment was to be a coach and a consultant to children's pastors in mega churches. You know, I have relationships with many of the children's pastors in big churches. And we would go in and we would talk about ministry. And I started asking them, has your church ever done anything on grandparenting? And Dr. Dobson, 100% of the time, the answer I got back was, no, they never even thought about such a thing.
How do you explain that? Why would that not be?
I don't know. Because many of the pastors are actually grandfathers themselves. And they dearly love their grandchildren, but it just has not been a topic that's discussed in churches.
Here's this fantastic resource sitting out there in the pews who would give their very lives for their grandchildren, and that's not honored and developed and appreciated?
Well, just think, there are probably tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of churches that have done seminars or classes or something on parenting. And they probably used a lot of your materials over the years.
I hope so.
I hope so, too. And yet, there hardly has been a church that has done anything on the topic of grandparenting. And it's as if church leaders often just haven't thought about the incredible value that grandparents bring to the discipleship process.
Is that what led you to start the Legacy Coalition?
Yes.
Describe it. What does that consist of?
Well, the Legacy Coalition is, you know, we believe that many Christian grandparents are missing opportunities to pass on their faith. So we want to help them to fulfill that biblical role that we see that they have, and we're going to provide them with resources and events to help equip them to have a greater spiritual impact in their family. That's what we do.
Well, talk more about what the Bible has to say about grandparenting. I don't know if I've ever seen anybody actually go through the scriptures and find those verses that relate to it. You've obviously done that. You named one.
The thing about it is there are only two times in scripture that the word grandparent or a form of it appears in scripture. So I think maybe that's a reason why it's overlooked. But then you start looking at all the passages that talk about multiple generations. Why is God called the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Why three generations there? And then all the passages that talk about inheritance and heritage and, you know, all of those issues really come to play in a grandparenting life. I see Deuteronomy 4:9, though, as kind of the John 3:16 for grandparents. It's the one that just very concisely and clearly states the responsibility of grandparents. We are to be passing on our faith to our grandchildren. And then another real significant passage is Psalm 78, where it mentions four generations there. You know, it says these things were told to your fathers. You'd pass them on to your children, and then to those not yet born, and then they to their children. So it mentions four generations. And when we teach and talk about it, we say grandparents are to teach two generations, but they are to think four generations. If I'm going to follow Psalm 78, I have to be thinking about what I'm doing as a grandparent, about how will it impact two generations that are not yet born. That's the grandchildren of my grandchildren. And it kind of makes my brain hurt to do that. But that is the kind of thinking that we are to do as we look at what are we doing in our last half of life.
This is such a point of passion for me. I've mentioned that word several times. And the people who listen to me regularly will have heard me say this, but it's worth repeating that my great-grandfather, his name was McCluskey. He died before I was born. He died a year before I was born, so I never met him. But he was praying for me three generations back. He was praying actually for four generations of his children, those born and those not yet born. He was praying for me. He was a minister, and he gave the hour from 11 to 12 o'clock every day to pray for his children and his children's children, even his great-grandchildren. That entire four-generation lineage has been Christian, with an exception or two. But it is amazing how his prayers reach across four generations of time and influence what I do with this day. Man, is that power?
That is incredible power. And that's exactly what we're talking about. Because, though, the topic of grandparenting is not discussed very much, especially in churches, the only voice that Christian grandparents hear is a cultural voice. And most Christian grandparents, I believe, think they're good grandparents. In fact, we often get that. They'll say, no, I'm good. And on those days when I'm feeling just a little bit ornery, I'll say, okay, so you're a good grandparent. By what standard are you a good grandparent? And if it's a cultural standard, they probably are good. In other words, you know, the culture says you're a good grandparent if you help take care of the kids and you go to their soccer games and you spoil them a little bit and, you know.
Come to the birthday party.
Exactly. You do that. And so they think I'm a good grandparent because they've never heard a higher standard. They've never heard that there's more to grandparenting than just what culture says. And those things aren't bad. Culture doesn't have a bad view of grandparents. It's a good view. It's just not enough. And Scripture adds so much more.
Tell me this. Do you think sometimes grandparents do not get involved in the spiritual life of the child because they think that's the parent's job and they don't want to interfere with it?
Absolutely. Because, again, that's a message that they've heard. And think about this. Think about the power of this. Imagine the biblical ideal. The biblical ideal is two parents and two sets of grandparents devoted to every child following God. Now, we know that most families don't have the biblical ideal because of things that happen, but that's a biblical idea. Every child has six adults devoted to discipling him long term. Now, that's way more influence than any Sunday school teacher can ever have. And that's not to downplay Sunday school teachers. But in God's design, there's going to be those six people devoted for all of childhood to help a child follow God.
Boy, when you consider what's at stake here, we're talking about eternity now. I mean, what's more important than that? Yes, you want to teach children to read. You want to teach them as much as you can about math and science and all the academic subjects. But does anything outrank knowing who Jesus Christ is and what he did for us and where we're going to spend eternity? It breaks my heart, really, that people don't grasp the gravity of this. I call it job one. It's more important than anything else in the culture, anything in your assignment. It's more important than your health. It's more important than your work. It's more important than making money or saving money or preparing for your old age. It outranks everything. Do we really believe that?
Isn't this the most important purpose that any of us have in the latter years of life? You know, God has favored you with an incredibly long ministry life. You're still actively involved in your age in ministry. And yet I would have guessed that you would still agree with me that those two little precious grandkids that you have, you want to see them in eternity with you as much as anything in this world.
Here's a prayer that Shirley and I pray often. Lord, we know that the culture has forgotten the fundamentals of the faith. And not only have they forgotten it, but they're antagonistic to it. And we're not going to be here very long. I mean, it's the nature of things. It's the way of all flesh. Our time will go and we will go. And those kids are not going to have our influence around, but for a fairly short period of time. Who's going to be there to tell them the things that are essential, the things that matter so much? And what is the culture going to say to them? What are they going to hear at school that there's nobody there to counteract? You better do it while you can and do your preaching and do your praying while you have an opportunity to do that.
You know, the virus has only helped us to see the urgency maybe a little bit more. I appreciate that focus on urgency. There is such an urgency. And the urgency does come from the rapid change of culture in our world, but it also comes from the realization that of our own fragility and mortality. I have a friend who does something that I think is phenomenal. His name is John Colombe. He's a pastor in Fullerton, a retired pastor, but he numbers his days. In his calendar, he has figured out what his life expectancy is, and he writes a number on his calendar, and every Wednesday morning, he subtracts 7. And you know, the psalmist tells us to number our days and we will have a heart for wisdom. Numbering our days makes us face that urgency. I'm 67, about to be 68. I think that I might have about 6,000 days left. That means every 2 months, I lose a percent. And when I face that, it makes me much more careful about how I spend every single waking moment of my day.
And that's even if you do live that long, which you may not.
Exactly. I was one of the vice presidents of Awana when God really began to stir our heart. The headquarters for Awana was in Chicago. Our son was starting his family in Southern California. And I went to the president and said, I can't do this anymore. I've got to move because God is stirring me to be close to my grandkids and to be an influence in their lives. And I can't do that so good from 1,800 miles away. So we moved. And it meant a demotion for both my wife and I. But it was a small thing to do, to have the opportunity in these later third or the later quarter of life to be able to do something God had put on my heart to do.
Well, I'm talking today with Larry Fowler about the most important subject I can imagine, that having to do with winning your grandchildren for Christ and being the kind of godly grandparent that I think is not only scriptural, but it's the substance of this second part of our lives. You get another chance. You raise your children, and then you get an opportunity to have an influence on the next generation, and we certainly want to capitalize on that. I'd like to ask a question related to this to our listening audience. If you really comprehend the urgency of what we're talking about, and that's intergenerational faith.
Yes.
If you really recognize that eternity depends on it, is there anything you would not do to make a contribution to that objective?
Yeah. Of course, we all respond individually by faith to Jesus Christ. Amen?
Right.
But I want to end this life being able to say I've done all I can to model the Christian faith for my grandkids, to share my faith, to tell my faith story, to be a blessing to them. I want to go out having done everything I can possibly do. I don't want any regrets when it comes to passing on faith to my family.
I'm an evangelical. That means that I want to win as many people to Christ as I can. That's my primary objective in living. That's why I'm here on the radio, above all else. I want to make strong families, but it doesn't do much good to have strong families if they don't know Christ. They don't know where they're going or what they really believe. So I am an evangelical. My primary job in bringing people to Christ is my own family.
Yes.
That's where it starts. It doesn't end there. It starts there. And through the years, ministers have had the notion that if they work hard to bring all the people they can to Christ and lose their own kids, they've missed a great opportunity. And therefore, they've kind of said, I'll do these things that God asked me to do in the wider world, and he'll take care of my family. That's what was believed 100 years ago.
Yes, it
that
was.
God was sort of obligated to get them into the kingdom if he went out and served God to the best of his ability. Yes. I wish it worked that way. Shirley and I are reading 1 Samuel right now, and he was one of the most godly men of the whole Bible. I mean, it's admirable, everything that he did. And he lost his own kids. Can you imagine that? You would have thought God would have rewarded him for all the wonderful things he did with the salvation of his kids. But it didn't work that way. You have to do it. It's your primary responsibility. So pastors who are working yourself to death, doing all this stuff and getting out to see Mrs. Jones, who's in the hospital, Mrs. Jones will always be in the hospital. Don't cut your kids out because you could lose them. And God is not obligated to bring them into the kingdom if you don't do your job.
And then there are those where that's already happened. And there are probably listeners that already have adult kids that have walked away.
That's heartbreaking.
You know, people have missed it. And so one of the greatest heartbreaks of life, we find often that they feel just stymied. They feel like they don't know how they can do anything now. No, there's hope. God can turn your adult kids' hearts around.
You never give up praying for them.
Never give up. And there are things you can do. That's one of the things our ministry wants to do is we want to provide ideas and new strategies that will help the grandparents whose adult kids have walked away, help them to be able to think in a new, fresh way about what they might do to restore those relationships and see their adult kids come to Christ.
Well, my guest is Larry Fowler, and we just met a few minutes ago before we started the program. I like what you say and what you do and the way you think. I thank God for what you are trying to do. And let's take the last moments of the program to talk about your Legacy Coalition. And I understand there's going to be an event. Tell us about it.
Well, we have one this fall, and then we have another one in March. We hold the only national conference on Christian grandparenting, and because of the virus, we've rescheduled it for March the 18th and 19th of 2021. This is called the Legacy Grandparenting Summit.
Oh, wonderful.
It's going to be in Alabama, the live site, but it's going to be live streamed to locations all over the U.S., and so wherever your listeners are, there's going to be an opportunity for them to attend this conference in March 18th and 19th, 2021.
How can they get a hold of you and get information?
Go to legacycoalition.com. On the website has all the links, all the information is there. But in September, we're doing a free live streaming event on the topic of grandparenting, especially during this coronavirus crisis. And we're going to have some real subject matter experts being talked about the issues that are pertinent right now for grandparents. That information will all be there. And that's a live event that will be live streamed to individuals. You can watch it right in your home, and it's completely free. All you have to do is go onto our website and sign up, and you can be a part of it. September 17th through 20th, 4-day window that you'll have the opportunity to watch this event completely for free. We'd love to have folks sign up and join us.
Larry, I hope you have a million viewers and participants. I would really love to see that flourish because it is so important. God bless you, my friend. Thank you for being my guest today. You've inspired me. You've reinforced the things that I believe more than I care about my own life, and that is being ready for the world to come, and I don't want the circle to be unbroken. That's the passion of your heart, isn't it?
That's my passion. That's it.
Will you be with us again?
I would love to. I'd love to.
Well, blessings to you, and I ask people to pray for you and your ministry.
Thank you.
an engaging discussion about the spiritual responsibility and influence of grandparents. This is Family Talk, and you've been listening to part one of Dr. Dobson's interview with Larry Fowler. Visit our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org for more information about the Legacy Coalition and their upcoming events for grandparents. That's drjamesdobson.org, and then click on the broadcast tab for all of those details. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Be sure to listen in again tomorrow as Dr. Dobson and Larry Fowler continue discussing the godly opportunity of grandparenting. It's a relevant and meaningful conversation that you won't want to miss, and it's coming your way on the next edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh. Hope you'll join us then.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.